a spell on you. Cause you're mine. Do, 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 do. You better stop the things you do.
There's the clap.
No,
we'll match it up because we're magic. Oh, hey, magic. Don't turn the recording off.
No, oh. Don't do that.
Also, I don't want to see the weather. Thanks.
Do you not?
Well, I mean, it's San Diego. I don't think I've looked at the weather for a year.
San Diego.
I know. It's kind of gross. I feel real gross when I say to people, I don't even know what it is outside. Because it's like anywhere like, between 70 and 75. Take a guess, you know.
Well, especially because like the world's on fire right now.
I know. So
yeah. You down there just like pleasantly in your...
In my little
degrees.
Bubble world. Yeah, I know. It'll get warm here, but I'm hoping that we don't see a lot of super hot days. Mm-hmm. It was just a few last year, but it was also like then the termites came at the same time. So it was like, hey, that's
the
too much at once.
Came?
Oh, yeah. The termites, they swarm. Did you know?
No, I did not know. But that is nightmare fuel for me now. So,
yeah, there's a whole season. So. The guy.
Oh my god! Termite season. There's
yeah,
termite
we had the guy
season?
Come out to the house because you know, even though we're just renting, we still don't want to live with termites.
Yeah,
and it was
course.
Like you know, we knew that they're in the house, like they're chewing on the wood somewhere. I mean, it's an old ass house, but then the guy came. I said, "Oh yeah, well now they're you know they're flying in and they're hanging out in the bathroom." He's like, "Well yeah, it's swarm season." I'm like. I don't like those two words together.
Swarm season?
Swarm season.
Swarm
yeah,
season.
That's what it
horrifying.
Is.
Horrifying. No, thank you.
Yeah. So that was terrible and it did not please me at all. And we were leaving the bathroom window open because, you know, no central air is like window units and also just whatever breeze you can catch. But they were coming in through the bathroom window. So,
oh, like, Jesus. No,
this is not what we want.
This does not spark joy.
It does not. No, I held it close to myself and let it go.
You let it go.
Speaking of sparking joy, what's the haps there?
Well, we're hex rated.
Oh, we are indeed.
This is
welcome
hex-rated.
To Hex Rated. I am Blackbird.
And I'm Lily. That's
we are
it.
So glad. We're so glad you're here. That's it. It's just us
That's
all
us.
Together alone.
I don't think we've ever done an episode where it's just you and me before.
I know. What are we going to talk
Solo.
About?
I don't even know.
It's not exactly solo. It's
yeah,
duo.
It's not. It's duo. But... You're right.
But I mean, it's solo
it's,
for each
it's
of us.
It's not solo at all.
I am by myself and you are in a room by yourself. So
I am in a room by myself.
You are. Yes.
My children are in a room over not sleeping.
Oh,
they're
well.
They're not doing that. So
Do they stay up and talk to each
yeah,
other?
Yeah, they play with each other. Yeah. Ugh. Last night was bad. Last night they stayed up until like 10 playing with each other. And then by then, like, cause you can't make kids sleep. I mean, I have tried.
No.
If they don't want to sleep, they're not going to sleep. It's like eating, you know, you can't make kids eat. You can sit at the table all night if that's really what you want to do. But, you know, what are you going to do? Force feed them?
Yeah, don't do it.
Yeah, it's traumatizing for everyone. But you can't make them sleep. But so last night they were up until like 10 playing with each other. And then so 10 o'clock hit and they're both like overtired, you know, at that point. So then they're at the door just like crying and screaming and it's just so good.
It's like, we're awake now. We are awake.
So nice.
And we need you to be awake too. And we don't care about your schedule and daytimes.
Nope.
And
mm-mm.
No,
they
don't.
It's
yeah, but I know. But
they don't
it's
care
like,
about is a schedule.
But you know, really, adults, we only sleep because we have to get up and go to a job. Like, I would love it if I had a life where I could sleep when I was tired and do all kinds of shit when I wasn't, because it seems to me, and I was kind of talking about this last Sunday, I have this burst of creative energy right before it's time to go to bed. And I'm like, well, most of the time I just like skip over the creativity and go to sleep because I have to go to work to pay the bills. So, I don't know. Dream society.
Dream society. We would all sleep. Dream society.
Oh, is that? I think that's a band. I really wasn't trying to invoke a band, but what I'm saying is, in a perfect world,
sounds like it should be a band.
Right? In a perfect world, I would sleep when I want, wake up when I want, eat what I want, and
just do what you want.
Do what I want. That's a perfect world. Yes.
Do what you want. Yeah.
I don't see any problem with that. What's the haps?
Oh, so much shit.
I know. And I think this kind of like so much shit kind of sums up our topic today, because Lily asked me, what do you think we should talk about? It's just us. What should we talk about? And I said, I don't know. What have you been doing lately? She said, I'm so drained and depleted. I don't even feel like I'm doing anything witchy. And I said, we should talk about that, because I bet we're not the only people that feel that way kind of all the time. I mean,
kind of all the time. Yeah.
I have felt that way for the last year and a half.
Yeah.
At least.
No, I'm definitely there. I can't remember the last time. There's like moments of feeling witchy, but overall I just don't feel like there's anything on my daily, which I mean there must be. I must have things, because
we're gonna draw it out of you. That's kind of why I did that episode. Not only was Scarlett out of town, but also I just wanted to say, okay, do I do some shit that's witchy? Because It's either everything I do is witchy, which is what I start to want to believe, or nothing is. But there's I do think there is an in between, and I bet that if we kind of went through some of the things you did during the week, I bet it qualifies as, I mean, qualify. Who's even qualifying it? You're
yeah,
a witch,
who's
whether
the witchy
you're like
police?
Doing shit or not, right? I mean,
it's true. Yeah, I guess it's one of those things, like, you don't stop being a mom. You know, right. If your kids are,
don't
like,
you know it,
at grandma's,
right? Don't
still
you
a mom
know it
all the time?
Still a mom, 24/7, 28, 100, whatever.
Oh yeah, it does not stop.
All the numbers, but I think there's mom stuff too that's probably witchy that you don't think about that you do. I mean, I am sure that you have a. Well, first, let's go back to the beginning. Now, I know you and I both have a lot going on in our lives that have had us feeling quite drained, quite depleted. It is a lot to just take on some of the burdens that I think that we, not only as, I don't know, it's not just women, but just people are having to take on. For example, battling with insurance companies, that is not a thing that we should have to do when we are sick.
Mm-hmm.
Just like normal societal things that used to be, you just called a number and things magically happened. That doesn't happen anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So more and more, the effort is shifted onto the individual. And that is difficult, especially for those of us like you and I that are kind of, I don't want to say extra sensitive. Well, I am a highly sensitive person. I think I fit in that definition. So I think it's easy to feel run down real quick when you're having to make constant decisions. I don't know. Tell me about, like, when do you notice that you're getting to the point of, like, just pure exhaustion?
Oh, gosh. Actually, yesterday. Yesterday was.
Yesterday was the day.
It was awful. It was one of those days where, like, my goodness, like, everything is going wrong. So my kids have been, I'm gonna go off and tell a kid story.
Do it.
My girls have to be potty trained to go into the pre-K that they're enrolled in starting in August, and they're pretty much potty trained at this point. Like, they don't not through the night, which I think is an unrealistic expectation. for a 3.5-year-old. But they're basically, you know, they're basically potty trained. One of them has kind of been having a regression, which is very understandable. You know, kids don't want to stop playing. They're still, like, and two, when little kids tell you they have to go to the bathroom, it's like an immediate, like, they have to go to the bathroom right then. You know,
because fun fact, that is also what happens when you're 50. So just keep that in mind.
All comes back.
Back around. Yep.
But so there's a lot of schools of thought, too, that think that 3 to 4 is even too early to potty train. I mean, that's up for debate, you know, when you should potty train. Or toilet learn, depending on.
Either way, it is an unreal expectation for little kids to be, you know, perfect at it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Right, no. You know, they're not exactly going to get it right every single time, and it's fine.
Well, right. And like I said, one of them's kind of having this regression where she's having a pee accident every day. There's at least one pee accident, and I don't want to put her back in diapers because one, she doesn't want to be in diapers, and then that's kind of a regression too. So, you know, you kind of just have to make like a not big deal that you're like, okay, accidents happen. We'll just clean it up. It's not a big deal, you know, because you don't want to shame or embarrass them.
No.
So anyways, I took them to this indoor play place, my two girls, yesterday, and I had everything else except for extra clothes because we haven't needed extra clothes in so long. I didn't think about it. My bad. We're not there for 5 minutes and she just pees all over herself at this play place. And I was like ready to just like I was almost crying. Like I was
like I don't know what to do now. Take this wet child away from me.
I was like, I was asking like the teenagers who work there. I was like, y'all have to have something. Like I have to clean this. I'm not going to make you clean this up, but you have to give me something to clean this up with. And they were like, we have paper towels. And I'm like, that is it? There's no sanitizing products in this entire building?
By itself. Like,
I was like, a toddler has just peed on the floor and on a bench.
Yeah, I think you want me to clean this for you. Right.
Yeah, you're going to have to give me more than paper towels. But
cool.
But it was just like an entire day of that. And it's difficult to not feel behind on when you're taking care of a house by yourself. It is difficult to not feel behind on something, you know? And then especially when you, like, even if you didn't have two kids, you know, if you're taking care of a house by yourself, it's difficult to do that. And then when you have, you know, two toddlers and you're trying to take care of a house and two toddlers and they're so needy, because of course they are. They're kids. Of course they're needy. Like, right. And of course they're peeing all over themselves. And it's like, yesterday was one of those days where it was like unexpected messes. Like, we're having potty accidents. And then, you know, I'm cleaning up marker on the wall, and then one of them is at the sink just spraying water everywhere. And then, like,
yay.
It was just like one non-stop. Thing after another. It was just nonstop and one thing after another. And I was like, I mean, this is parenthood. Parents know this. You get up and you make breakfast and you clean up for breakfast and you have to get them ready and you have to, like, then you make lunch and it's just like you're doing dishes and you're trying to do laundry, and then it's just like there's 1,000 things, and then while you're trying to do all those things, you have children who are having conflicts, or they're crying, or they're screaming, or they need your attention, you know?
Right, and they're not just going to sit there and let you do your chores.
No, and they don't, too. Like, when kids need your attention, they're not, like, reasonably, hey, Mom, I really need a hug right now.
You know? No, they're just crying and tugging at your stuff, and right.
Yeah, and it's on you as the adult to stop and center yourself and be like, okay, what do they need right now? They need my, like, validation, or they need attention, or they need a hug, or, you know, like, is this a want? Do they just want me to play with them, or is this a need? Like, do they need me? Like, do they need quality time right now, you know?
Right.
And that is just, like, it's very difficult to then find any sort of moment in the day for yourself. You know,
right.
To just
right.
like be quiet. Because then even sometimes it feels like too, even when they're in bed, not sleeping, you know,
right.
just like playing with each other. Even then it feels like I'm wasting time. Like if I don't clean up or I don't do something, or if I don't like, I don't know, do something for myself, if I don't watch a TV show, like, I don't know, it feels like, like I'm wasting the time if I just lay here and stare at the ceiling, which is what I kind of
do. I don't think that's really technically wasting. So I come from the same kind of, I am cut from the same kind of cloth. I feel like every minute that is not spent doing something is a minute that I have wasted, because that is what I was taught as a child.
Oh yeah, exactly. Me too.
All my life, which I've started to finally, have I mentioned I'm 50? I've started to figure out that that's kind of a bullshit lie that they told us. So, I mean, I'm not saying that not being productive all I'm saying is there has to be some downtime. We are in this crazy culture that turns and burns and blows and goes, and these are all the phrases that I can't stand. And now I know why I can't stand them, not just because they're cheesy, but because I need maybe more rest than the other person, because I have some mental shit. And who doesn't, right?
Yeah, so, no, everybody, yeah.
But the hard part is, and this is the part I struggle with, and I bet you do too, is, right, all of this stuff that says, okay, well, just, you know, do the dishes have to get done right now? No. Does this have to get... And I do have that feeling where, you know, I could just not do this thing. But I also have that feeling of, well, it's not going to go away, and there's just going to be more of that thing later.
Oh, so much more, yeah.
So much more, and it piles up really quickly.
Yes.
So now, will everything come screeching to a halt if I don't do the dishes two nights in a row? No, but we'll probably run out of spoons, like, eventually. But having to try and balance and reprioritize, and it's just me and the cats and my husband. It's not kids. I can't imagine not only try to prioritize your stuff that you've got going on, but also prioritize for them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I can imagine like a day like yesterday would be the day that you're like, shit, I'm out of juice.
Yeah, I like...
out of all the gas.
I made the girls dinner, like just like easy, like chicken nuggets, because I have raised them to eat meat, but I don't eat meat, so like that's a decision they want to make later. They don't want to eat meat, that's fine. But that's on them. But it's not my choice to make for them,
right?
But anyways, so I just popped chicken nuggets in the oven for them last night for dinner. I didn't even eat dinner. I was so exhausted that, like, I just popped chicken nuggets in the oven for them. I didn't even make anything for myself. And I was like, I'll figure out myself, like, food for myself after they're in bed. And then afterwards, I just, like, laid in bed and cried.
Yeah. Yeah.
I literally was, like, so drained. I could not. I was like, I need to get up and at least like wash my face. Like,
yeah,
I was so tired. And one of the things that I know about myself is that I very much tie my like productivity into my self-worth. Like,
right.
Sure. And not only that, I tie like the state of my house into my like self-worth.
Yes.
So if the, which I think in some ways isn't a bad thing, and then in other ways like this it is, where I'm so hard on myself when things aren't getting done. And one of the things that I have realized about myself through therapy is that I am so incredibly, that's another thing, I've been going to therapy.
yes
I am so incredibly self-reliant, and that is something that I have always, like, it's been a point of pride for myself that I don't need anybody and I don't need help and I can figure it out. I'll do it myself. But what I've realized is that is a defense mechanism.
Yep.
It is just me being unwilling or unable, incapable at the moment of like trusting anyone else to help me, because like they could drop the ball, you know, and then what am I going to do? You know, it's just a defense mechanism.
I was going to say, for you and me, I don't think it's that thing where you're afraid to ask for help. Because, I mean, I really had to learn how to ask for help in the last 5 or 6 years. But, like, when I was having trouble learning how to ask for help, it wasn't as if I was afraid to ask. I just was, well, how, why would I ask for help when they don't know how to do this thing? I am the only one that knows how to do this thing, which is like fucked up. I mean, I am not the only, and I mean, and I can talk to you about this. I definitely thought that way in roller derby. Mm-hmm. I thought I am the only person that's going to make this league run well. And that was not true. There were lots of other people that could have helped. I would not have had to do, you know, a lot of stuff all by myself. Mm-hmm. Had I just asked. So, well,
I think for me, a lot of what it is this fear of being a burden to other people. That if I am not completely taking care of myself and my, like, at all times, if I am dependent or relying on other people or asking for help, that they're just going to be, like, sick of me. That they're going to, like, either think that I can't take care of myself or, you know, Lily, she's such a burden. I just have to help her. She can't do this on her own.
None of us think that. You know that, right?
Well, nobody thinks, like, that. That's my fear, is, like, deep down, that's, like, what I'm afraid of, is that asking for help is just going to annoy.
Weakness or whatever, right?
Yeah, and it's just going to annoy people, you know, that I am going to be a burden on other people.
Right.
So I think that there's a lot of that. So I don't ask for help.
Except there's, but right, so what I've learned is that a lot of people have the same issue. They don't know how or don't want to ask for help for a myriad of reasons, but what they want to do is help somebody else. So that's kind of and I'm not saying I want to help other people 24/7. I kind of don't, but there's a lot of times where if I am having situations with my own self, it is, you know, sometimes a point of, oh, there I go. Cut the you knows out. I feel that if I can reach out and do something for someone else, like maybe bake a treat or wash some clothes for them. I used to love cleaning other people's houses. It was just way better than cleaning my own.
That's true. Why is that?
I don't know. It's just because it's not your stuff.
I don't know.
Cleaning somebody else's shit is way easier because you're not thinking, well, at least for me, I don't want to say I don't do a great job cleaning. I don't put a lot of effort in anymore. It's like, if it looks good enough, then we're going to call it good. that's not the way I was raised, and it's not the way I want. I want the house to be clean all the fucking time, but who's got, I don't have the time for that.
Really, exactly.
Or the, like, money. I don't want to hire a live-in housekeeper. It's 900 square feet. That would be silly.
Well, and I hold myself to like the standards of my mom. And I have to remind myself too that, like, my mom, she had 3 kids, but my mom didn't work. She was a stay-at-home mom. And she had my dad, who was a full partner to her in, like, the aspects of, like, the house.
Getting shit done.
Yes. So, like, mom was fully capable of doing anything. But, like, she didn't have to. There was, like, an entire. They divided, like, the housework up very equitably. So there was, like, an entire, like, half of the maintenance of the house. And, like, the yard work and the cars and things like that, that she did not have to worry about because, you know, my dad took care of that. Right. Yeah, because they equally divided, like, that sort of, like, household labor. Right. And so my mom was able to focus entirely on, you know, like, making sure that, like, the house was a certain level of cleanliness and organized. And so that was how I grew up. And so I definitely hold myself to this standard of, like, my mom, but I am incapable. And the thing is too, I hold myself to the standards of my dad as well, but, like I said, like, for the way my dad maintained the cars, that's the thing, like, logically I know that I'm holding myself to the standards of 2 humans, right? You know, and I am but one.
Well, and I think the thing is, it's so hard to let go of those standards, right? Because I feel the same way, except Except, I mean, it really took like a severe mental. I wouldn't call it. It was. It might as well have been a breakdown. It took a really like hard stop for me to say, okay, you know what? If I'm just gonna be pissed the whole time I'm vacuuming this carpet, how is this helping me? Is the carpet being vacuumed? Now, I don't have kids now, so carpets being vacuumed, a little more important when you have kids, you know, running around, crawling around. But, you know, there's really, if I didn't clean this house for, I don't know, however long it's been since I've cleaned this house, if I don't clean this house for a few weeks, nothing's going to fall apart. Mm-hmm. So it's reevaluating those standards that I have a hard time with, because I don't really know, like, those standards were good, and I liked having a super clean house and everything. But it doesn't really be, it's not okay with my lifestyle right now. I can't keep it up. But it's mm-hmm. not that I'm living in a slovenly, you know, hovel or anything. Things are totally fine. If you were to come in off the street, you'd be like, it's dusty. That's all. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't say, oh God, she is a, you know, gross hoarder. What the fuck is wrong? It's not that level. And if it got to that level, I have friends that will tell me that things are that bad. But I'm still trying to figure out, like, to me, this is part of my practice, right? Constant reevaluation and examination of self and what my motives are, and why do I think that all the dishes need to be rinsed thoroughly, completely before I wash them, you know?
Yes, yeah. Just
re-examining that. And really, to me, every time I give in to some, like, defense/control mechanism, that's me, you know, really not taking up for myself, not standing mm-hmm. up for myself. That's me reverting to old, comfortable habits that deep down I'm fucking pissed about.
Yeah.
Does that make sense at all?
No, it totally makes sense.
It's almost like reestablishing yourself as your own authentic being
mm-hmm.
is really fucking hard.
That is hard.
Because we come with so much other learned experiences. Mm-hmm. That how do we ever shake those or shape our own?
Yeah.
Oh, it's really
no
deep.
Like, I mean, I mean, God, not to blame everything on my mom, because, like,
I will, it's okay,
I love,
we're all
my
friends
mom.
Here
I love my mom,
me
but
too,
like,
but that doesn't mean they didn't have some shit that they came, you know, that they came with.
Well, that's the thing too, like, there's so many things now as an adult I look at and I'm like, Mom, you should have worked this out. Like, yeah, right. Like, you got some baggage, Mom.
Yep.
Like,
right. Do but, your work, damn it.
Yeah. But yeah, like, I've been reading The Body Is Not an Apology.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. So good. I bought this. I don't know if this sounds silly, but I bought this self-love workbook for women. And
that's,
like,
awesome. What? Tell me about
I've been doing the exercises, and like, some of them, like, when I first read them, I'm like, this is dumb. But then I do one and I'm like, oh my God, I'm crying.
Right?
But it's been helping a lot. But one of the things that I've really, like, realized while I was reading The Body Is Not an Apology is that, like, my mom never commented on my body. Like, there were certain things that my mom would make comments about, my hair especially. Like, my mom had a lot of opinions about my hair and how
right.
I dressed,
right?
But, like, my weight, never. She never talked right. about my weight ever.
Yeah.
However, my mom was obsessed with her weight. Mm. She, like, well, because she was probably a little bit, like, average, like, a little bigger than me. My mom's tall, you know, she's,
yes,
like, 6 foot.
She is very tall. Yes.
She's about 6 foot, and she's not that, like, tall, thin. She's tall and, like, regular looking.
Statuesque.
So,
yes.
Yes, yeah. So she's the Scandinavian stock, you know?
Right.
So, like, after she had 3 kids, very understandably, she gained weight. And right. Then she went on Weight Watchers and lost, like, over 100 pounds. My mom at her thinnest was very thin. She's, my mom's 6 foot. At her thinnest, she was, like, 145. So that's very thin. Yeah. And I look at photos of my mom, like, from that period, and I'm like, Mom, this is too thin, you know? Like, but that's what she, like, thinks, that's when she thinks she looked her best, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, my mom was always talking about her weight. She still is always talking about her weight and, like, what she's eating, and she was always, like, looking at, like, her calories and, like, the Weight Watchers points, you know, and she was just, like, always talking about her weight. And I realized that the way that I talk about and think about my body is the way that my mom thinks about, or my mom talks about her body, you know? It was never, like, she never, like, talked about my body or my weight at all, but because I watched her and listened to her obsess about her body and her weight, that's what I internalized. And I don't want to do that to my kids, because this is not a fun way to live, you know?
No,
it's not fun. But anyways, everybody should read The Body Is Not an Apology. It's so good.
I have heard that that is very good. I can also recommend for my own struggles. Now, I don't think I have the exact particular struggles that a lot of people that read this book have, but The Fuck It Diet by Carolyn Dooner, and it is not a diet. It is about kind of letting go of everything you know about food. just basically, like, her main point, at least to me, I think her main point is we have to get rid of our feelings about food.
Mm-hmm.
Or not our feelings about it, but, like, you have to stop calling things good or bad, or, you know, this attachment and this obsession on the value of the food. Like, if you don't heal your relationship with it, you're just going to keep having a disorder, basically. And our culture approves of that disorder when it's making you thinner, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's just this whole study of what happens when you kind of start letting, I don't want to say not caring, but not obsessing so much about food. And once I really started, you know, reading that book and kind of doing some of the exercises in it, it was just really eye-opening to me that, yes, I have gained weight since roller derby. Yes, I have gained weight since I moved to California. And I've kind of bounced around, and now I weigh about every, I don't know, I might weigh about every 3 or 4 months, because I kind of, like, now I kind of do the same things every day, and my body is not doing a lot of fluctuating, but even if it were, it's okay. I think, well, and, you know, so I can't really speak to people that have, you know, health issues related to being overweight, but there's a lot of information in that book regarding all the things we know about diabetes, etc. It's not necessarily driven by your weight. A lot of it is hereditary. A lot of it, now again, I am not a doctor, I do not want to, but basically science out there on nutrition is all over the fucking map. So hats off to anybody that can really, like, figure out what to do. I know what's working for me now, and that's to just, like, eat shit I want. If I overeat a little, it's fine. It's not going to be the end of the world. I try to do movement because I want to do it. And I'll say this, when I stopped labeling things in my head as good and bad, that changed everything for me. But it's still really hard.
Cause it's so deeply internalized.
Yeah,
you know?
Man. You're like, oh, geez, it's so bad.
I know. It's so, like, deeply internalized.
It's just food, you know? Mm-hmm. It's literally just food. So I don't know. It's a journey that I will never stop being on. I've struggled with my weight my entire life.
And
but
that's,
like,
life.
Am I struggling? Like, I just want to live life and not worry about what I'm eating, but also not be unhealthy. I don't know. It's hard.
That's where I got the point where I got to, and I was like, when I decided to buy The Body Is Not an Apology.
Yeah.
Like, I have never had, for a variety of reasons that I'm working through in therapy.
I love it.
I have never had, since I was a kid, a healthy, like, relationship with my body. And I went through periods in my life of genuinely hating myself, you know? Yeah. And because the thing is, like, I look back at photos of me when I played roller derby, when I was at my fittest, yeah. and when I was very fit. But even then, I was not, I felt the way about my body that I feel now, you know?
Yep. Same.
Being fit did not change how I thought about myself. And I keep, and I have always had this, like, thought in my mind, if I get to a certain weight, or if I get to a certain, like, pant size, or if I get to, like, whatever goal, I'll feel better about myself. And the thing is, I was there.
You were there, like, and you didn't. Exactly.
I was there and I didn't. And I got, yep. and I was like, I'm so tired. It's yep. it's exhausting to not like myself. I would
yes.
much yes. rather love myself and let go of all of this other stuff. Because you know what? When I just, like, if I were my friend talking to me about, like, these feelings, I thought about it. I was like, I would tell my friend, if I was talking to myself, I would tell my friend, you gave birth, like, right? Your body, like, did something, like, amazing. But I always look at my stomach and I'm like, ugh, look at this, like,
I don't
look
like
at this
it.
Loose right. skin and these stretch marks. I'm like, I
that's fucking, like, work.
I created two is. Humans, right. and I birthed them, and yes. then I exclusively breastfed them for months.
And yet we, like, and, like, turn on ourselves for that. Like, yes. oh, but you didn't. But you didn't snap back to perfection. What the
no,
fuck?
No, because
you know?
The thing is, like, your body is different. Your body is not the same. Your body is right. changing throughout your entire life,
and it's okay.
It's okay. And, like, this, I was like, I have to let go of this yep. idea. Like, I have a friend who had triplets, and she has a very, like, the type of body that, like, society idealizes, you right. know? And right. she works out a lot, and she eats, you know, a certain way. But also, she was small to begin with.
Yeah. Right.
Like, she was never, like, my size to begin with. And I'm not saying I'm huge, but, like, I'm sturdier in some ways than other people. I don't know the right way to say it. But she is smaller than me. And even before she had her kids, she was smaller than me before I had my kids. And I was like, I cannot continue to compare myself
yes, right.
to her and her journey and her body. Like, in my body, and the thing is too, like, my body continues to do amazing things. Like, my goodness, I wake up and breathe every day, and it's kind of
right.
a miracle, you know?
Right.
Like, exactly. like, the fact that any of, like, especially having, like, gone through, like, all the birthing classes and learning about, like, not, obviously I'm not a doctor, but learning in, like, a small way, like, how children form in the
right.
womb. Like, it's amazing that any of us, like, our bodies work. Like,
right.
it's this, like, chaotic, like, just sort of, like, you got lucky. You know?
Right. No shit. It's, like, this massive, like, stuff that's perfectly designed to work together, but you're still just, like, what a crapshoot, man. If one
exactly.
little thing goes wrong
I have one
in the
little
gene
tiny
pool,
thing.
You're fucked.
Oh, man. Yeah, you
yeah.
are totally fucked.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, yeah. I need to, like, why am I living my life? I'm going to be 32 in 2 days. Like,
see? Right.
Why am I living my life like this? Like, my 30s, I just want them to be this time where I want to let go of all of that, you know?
Yes.
Like, who wants to live like that? And you know what? If you're listening to this, you shouldn't live like that either.
Well, I'll say this. I think, let's put it this way and give you a little bit of perspective. I wish I would have learned that at 32. You know, I mean, I'm still learning it now at 50. And it's not something that I was, like, in a good, healthy relationship with food and then, like, lost that relationship and got it back again. No, I've never had a good relationship with food. until probably the last year. So I think it's great that you're figuring this out when you're figuring it out, because
thank you.
And honestly, so, and I swear to God, we're going to tie something into witchcraft. But to me, well, I mean, first of all, I don't know that, I do think that witches in general are way more introspective than others, and rightfully so. It's kind mm-hmm. of, you know, how we operate in the world, in the mundane and the spiritual world, is to
yeah.
deep dive that shit all the time, right?
Oh, definitely.
So to present this artifice of having an altar and going through some motions or doing some rituals, whatever, if you're not feeling that shit, like if you're just doing it to go through a motion and say it's, you know, it's performative witchcraft. I mean, it's just, there's no point to any of that if you're not feeling what you're doing in your soul. So that kind of, like, that ties into me feeling too depleted to do certain things. But that's mm-hmm. when I started really looking, like, well, what are the little things I do every day that are kind of witchy anyway? So, I talked about this last week. For me, that's go in the garden, put on my perfume in a certain way, drink this coffee in a certain way, give thanks in a certain way. Or stand outside for 5 minutes and say something to my outdoor altars. I don't know. Like, I have something I do every day. I just don't realize it because I've built it in now. So I want to know if mm-hmm. you have anything that you can kind of dig through to see if that's there for you. And kind of, you know, maybe that'll make you feel a little bit more powerful too, to just say, hey, I do have things.
Well, and you know, when you said, stand outside for a couple minutes, that made me realize on Thursday night, I was like, there was a storm rolling in and I let the dog out, and then I had to like take the trash down to the curb or whatever to get picked up. But the storm was rolling in, and like I just kind of stood outside for a couple minutes and just like felt it, because you know, you can feel it.
Oh yeah.
And like the wind, and it wasn't raining yet, but it just like had started, like not really raining, but it was like starting to sprinkle. And I was like, you know, I guess that's a moment of just having those moments where you just appreciate and pay attention to.
And also kind of that kind of recharge. I don't know. For me, those moments, those little moments, mm-hmm. those give me, that's like standing in my power.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, too, my kids kind of help me. I try to not say no to things that are just an inconvenience.
Right.
Like, for example, it was raining the other day and my girls wanted to, like, go outside. And it was warm, so it wasn't like they were going to, like, it wasn't like cold rain. Right. And it wasn't storming. And I just knew that, like, I had them put on their rain boots and their rain jacket. And it was a situation where I just knew that they were going to get really wet and yeah. muddy, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
other than that, like, there's really no reason to say no. Like, it's not like a safety concern.
You're
going to
get a bath anyway at some point, right?
Yeah.
Right.
We do a bath every day. And right. it's not like a safety concern. So I let them. And yeah. like, watching them, like, the delight of them, like, running and just jumping in the puddles. And one of my girls, like, I just let her, she just, like, when it was first just, like, drizzling mm-hmm. and it was just, like, windy, she just, like, stood outside and, like, stretched out her arms and closed her eyes and put her little head back. And it was this really magical little moment where she was just, like, outside feeling the rain and the wind, and it gave me pause, you know, yeah. to like just watch her and then also kind of pay attention to the wind and the rain and how that felt. And yeah, when they were running around outside, they kept like taking their little hoods off, and I was like, don't get your hair wet. But then in my mind I was like, why am I telling, like, you know, what's the difference between this and when I let them play in the sprinkler, you know? Like,
whatever, right. It's, I mean, it might wet. Be a little dirtier, but it's the same. I mean,
yeah, like, so I try not to say no to those sorts of things where it's just kind of an like where it might make things a little inconvenient for me, but it's not it's not like an actual like, or, safety right. hazard or something, right. you know, it's not dangerous. It's just like, they're going to get muddy and I'm going to have to clean it up.
I think but, it's good because there, I think there were a lot of situations as a child that I didn't really get to do because it was inconvenient for my parents to have to mm-hmm. either stop down and, you know, observe me doing the thing. I grew up in the 70s where nobody observed shit, honestly, I think more often than not, I was just left for hours, not as a 3-year-old, you know, after about 5 or 6, you know, my sister was in the house and she was older, but really just hours of unsupervised time, which mm-hmm. mostly included reading. But if it hadn't, I mean, I'm sure I could have been up to some kind of shenanigans, but mostly it was just sitting under a tree crying or reading. So, but right, just letting them, you know, allowing them to enjoy those moments and then you seeing it and then you realizing, oh shit, she's having a moment. I am mm-hmm. having a moment watching her have a moment.
We're all having a moment.
It's so meta. It's like, that's really good.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
And I think that's just realizing why you're doing that or that you're doing that at all. That's powerful to me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I think so. But it is hard to like see those moments sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, when you're so like deep in the trenches.
Like, yeah, and like, I gotta wash that dish, man.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, I just have so much going on, everybody.
Well, I think it's hard to slow down when, I mean, especially when you have kids, but just it's hard to. Mm-hmm. Like for me, my days are very similar. So especially since everybody started working from home, and I really enjoy mm-hmm. working from home. I think it has helped me, even though I've been closer to a breakdown than ever before. I think it's helped. I think I'd be worse at the office, honestly, and having mm-hmm. to really, you know, just stuff all my feelings down so they would come out in some other weird way. At least being home allows me to feel the feeling and then move on.
Yeah.
Or go outside, you know, touch a plant, do something that grounds me. At least I yeah. have that. Mm-hmm. So it's just been a real weird year for my own spirituality. I've had to find all those little moments are what builds up to me having the practice I have at mm-hmm. all. It's not like it was where we were all together, where we would do yeah. things. And you know, that time is just as valuable to me, but I have to make a new path now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of what I feel like you're about to kind of discover, your own path through this and how you incorporate certain things that maybe you've been, you know, not doing just because you're exhausted, mm-hmm. you know, how to kind of weave small things back in, because it doesn't have to be an all or nothing thing.
Mm-hmm. And that's hard to remember. It's hard to remember how it was witchy wise before, right. like with everything, but it's hard yeah, to like yeah.
hard to remember time before
yeah how it was like witchy wise before I had kids,
right.
and then think about where I am now, and it's hard to not feel like that difference is negative. Yeah. The difference is a problem, or it means I'm not doing enough. It's hard to just not feel like I'm not doing enough in general.
Life. Yeah,
yeah, in life, you know. But yeah, no, it's definitely, and like, and that's the thing too. Like, you have to stop. I have to stop. I'm talking to me. I have to stop comparing my life now to like, or my body now, or anything now, to what it used to be, because right. It's unproductive. Right. It's exhausting, and it's not the way forward, you know.
Right. Yeah.
It's not how I grow. Like, growth isn't going to happen from me like looking back on yeah. I don't know how cool I used to be.
it's That's super duper wisdom right there, because so that's my particular problem with comparison. It's not that I am on Instagram comparing my life to other perfect lives. I'm not doing that. I'm comparing me now to me 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm so not the same person.
No, not at all, right?
Not even remotely.
Like, and it's interesting too, because I kind of do look back on high school and I think, you know, I am kind of still that like angsty, ridiculous.
I mean, sure.
Poetry writing person.
Characteristics, right.
Yeah. But no, you're not like you. I think back on who I was when I was 21. Right. And I looked at me
met
now.
You.
Yeah, it is.
You were very quiet.
We met when I was 20 because I joined roller derby a couple months after I turned 20. But yeah, I look back on that person and she's still me, but she's so different than who I am now. It's not even comparable. And I have to let go too. This is a little bit of a different topic. I have to let go too of the way I thought things would go. You know?
Yep.
Yes. Like how I thought things would work out and the future that I had planned, because I'm a planner.
Yeah.
I have to let go of that. And that's a process as well of letting that go. Because you work so hard at it and you think so much about it, and you know, then sometimes it just does not. And even if you think it's best that it didn't work out or this is better, how
it's
things
hard to
are
see
happening.
That in the moment, though. That's, you know, that's
it
the
is.
Hard part.
And even if it is the right thing, it's still okay to be upset.
Sure, absolutely.
Well, and that's another thing. I feel like I have so much. My goodness. How has this just become my therapy session?
It's okay. That's kind of what we're doing here. Someone will get something out of this. God damn it.
I hope so. I have so much anger. So much anger and frustration and resentment and boiling inside of me.
I know. I have a great idea for you. I should probably
give it
this
to me.
Idea for myself too, because I also seethe with rage most of the time. It's getting better. Of course, I'm on stupid anxiety medication, and it kind of dulls everything. It's not my favorite, but
I too am on anxiety medication. But I think that I've been on it for. Almost 2 years in October. In September, it'll be 2 years I'm on this particular one. And I think that it's it helps.
Yeah.
Actually. I feel like mine is the correct one that helps even out my anxiety.
That's
and
good.
I don't feel like it dulls my own personality.
That's good.
Yeah.
I think mine is more it's more anti-depression. So it definitely has, I have stopped crying altogether, which is not the desired effect, but it was better than crying all the time because that's what was happening. So it's better now. I still feel joy pretty strongly. It's the sadness that's not hitting me real hard, which is probably okay right now.
Mm-hmm.
I do have another appointment in August to maybe see about other meds, but meanwhile, what I was trying to say is, I don't even remember what I was trying to say.
You had an idea for me.
Oh, my idea for anger. Yes, I think this is a great idea. So I wonder if you could make up, without, you know, scaring the shit out of the dog, the children, you know, whatever, make up some kind of stomping ritual. Right before you come in the back door every night, you do three stomps and say some words or something, you know, maybe just some weird you can make it whatever you want. I'm just saying it would be cool to do something with stomping or clapping or just sound
dissipate
that energy. I don't know. I'm going to try some shit now. So
dude, I like that. Cause there's so much. And sometimes is sometimes I feel it in my arms.
Yeah, you know?
I get it. I have that. It's like a tingling or restless. Like, that's why I feel like in rituals a lot, I like shake my arms.
Yeah.
But my anxiety and my anger, I always feel in my arms.
Oh, I wonder like, if you could like, oh, so if you feel it a lot, not, I mean, your stomping thing could be like a daily thing. But then if you felt it in your arms, I would go touch your stang or something. Almost transferring the power of that anger into that vessel.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm coming up with all kinds of cool ideas.
I do. I like that. Because it does it. Like, I feel like that's why, yeah, in rituals, I tend to, like, grab my forearm and pull down. You know, like, I'm, like, wiping away something. And or I just, like, shake my arms out.
Yeah.
But because that's always like an impulse I have because, yeah, I feel these like heavy emotions so much as like this restless feeling in my arms. Mm. Like I should be. And I think that part of that has to do with being creative where I want to like my body's like, well, we need to get this out. We need to get this out somehow.
But
I feel it in my arms. Definitely.
That's really good. I know one energy medicine trick. I don't know if I can explain it over the sound waves, but I can try. There is a like a point in your calf muscle. It's like, so I would say go to where your leg bends like at the knee and then go about 3 or 4 inches down from the bend. So right in the middle of
tension muscle.
Not quite in the middle of your calf muscle. Toward the top but almost the middle. Follow along in your books, ladies and gentlemen. So if you press on that spot and you don't have to I don't think it matters, like do one leg, do both legs at the same time, whatever, that's like a release point. Totally talking out of my ass, but this is what somebody has done this to me before and it felt really good, where you kind of press on that spot in your calf. And you can kind of feel energy, not good energy, bad energy or restless energy, like draining out of you. Mm-hmm. It's almost like opening a valve and that you can feel it flow through your like out of your feet.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Try that shit.
I'm gonna try that.
I haven't done it in a while. Touch That's myself. If you really want to like get rid of something. But I don't know. I really like that stomping idea. Incorporating that somehow just to say like, you know, I don't even know what my words would be when I would stomp. But I'm going to try it and see if just something magically comes to me. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much how I do witchcraft these days.
That's how. Me too, man. Me too.
And you know what? Like, and this is a great way to end. That is fucking valid. And I won't have anybody tell me it's not.
Yes.
All these people that want all these people. There are people out there on the internets that like to tell you how to do witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but we have never been a place for you to come to hear how to do shit. You do your own thing. We're just describing our experiences.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I hope somebody's gotten something out of this, but I think for the last year and a half, I have so much I want to say and I don't know how to say any of it. So just being able to talk with you about this kind of stuff really, really has helped me.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
This has been good talk.
It is a good talk. I could talk about
I have feelings. So many
feelings. So many feelings. It's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, I definitely have that problem, which I think I've described before, where I feel so many feelings, but then I forget that I don't express them.
Right. And they just are sitting there.
Yeah, I just expect everyone else could see them because I'm feeling them so intensely.
Right, I know. Can't you just see? Aren't they a color? Isn't it bursting out of my forehead?
I know, right?
Like Athena.
Why can't you all see this?
or I'll try to explain something terribly with words out of my mouth and people are just looking at me like, what?
I'm right there.
If I can't write it down in, you know, 18 paragraphs, then
yes.
I probably just should keep it inside. Or not. I don't know. Maybe I should say some shit and see what happens.
Say so much shit.
Say some shit. Right. Well, everybody, thanks for joining us on Hex Rated with Lily and Blackbird. Feelings.
We talk about feelings and witchcraft.
Feelings. You can see us on the Instagrams at Hex Rated Witches. You can get us on the Facebook. Hex Rated Podcast.
No, just Hex Rated on Facebook.
Hex Rated on Facebook. HexRatedPodcast.com on our website. Just like any way that you could possibly think of getting a hold of us, you probably can, except for Twitter.
Not on Twitter.
We're not doing tweeting. It's just too much. We're already depleted.
We can't add Twitter to it.
We're not adding Twitter. Or I'm not. Let's put it that way. I'm not.
Can't do
no
it.
No TikTok either. We do have a Patreon page that we have a join at a dollar level right now. We may be adding some video content later. We're being depleted. We haven't really done that yet, but we're getting there.
There's a lot going on, everybody.
A lot going on. But we're so glad that you listened to our humble little cast, and we hope you have magical time out there. Should we
magical
do our
time.
Ending? One, two,
all right.
Three.
Hocus pocus, bitches.
Bye.